This morning, our message comes from Luke 10. Just to set a little context first, this is a time when Jesus has already picked his 12 apostles. Jesus has a lot of followers, and it's building the numbers and his popularity and dispopularity with people like Pharisees and scribes and lawyers. And so, where we're starting right now is where Jesus and his followers are on the road on the way to Jerusalem. We're going to pick it up at verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord. So I used to kind of think of this story of the Good Samaritan, just kind of, it's a simple story. We've all heard this parable before. But a few months ago, one of my buddies happened to hear a sermon on it, and he asked me, he's like, "What do you think about this story?" And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" And he said, "Well, the man at the beginning asked Jesus one question, 'Who is my neighbor?' And Jesus answers a different question. He says, 'This is a neighbor, be like them.'" And when he asked me this, I was like, "Oh, I never noticed that before." I was really curious. I'm like, "I don't really have an answer for you, and I don't really know, but that's really interesting. I'll have to look into that." And so I did, and it's really interesting. Yeah, the lawyer, he asks one question. Jesus answers a different one. As we see from the way this starts out, it says that the lawyer kind of wanted to catch Jesus off guard. It's like the lawyer's questions were not about finding out truth and actually figuring out how to be a good neighbor. He was trying to catch Jesus in some kind of heresy so that the public watching them would, like, look down on Jesus. The lawyer was asking this question because he wanted to win the public, like, argument, confrontation sort of thing. But Jesus, wise as he was, saw why this man was asking, and he answered accordingly. Jesus knew in his wisdom what he was doing when he asked, "Who is my neighbor?" You see, Jewish people, the Hebrew people growing up once they were chosen by God, they really believed that their neighbor, a neighbor to them, was a fellow Israelite, a fellow Hebrew person, a fellow Jewish person. So when he was asking, he was kind of like trying to catch Jesus, have Jesus either say, "Yeah, this is a Jew or somebody from a tribe of Israel, this is your neighbor." But Jesus knew, like, that's not really what it was about. The Jewish people really owned this identity and forgot that they were supposed to bring the love and the neighborliness to everyone else. So the question, "How can I be a neighbor?" is what we should be asking, not "Who is my neighbor?" When Jesus answered him, he gave him examples. He gave an example of a Samaritan man, and he gave examples of how the priest and the Levite walking past the man on the side of the road, walked right past him, Part of that is because in Jewish law, if a priest came into contact with a dead body, they were considered unclean. And so they would have to, you know, follow the law, get clean, get right. So that's part of what was into this. These people passing by in the road saw that man, and they didn't see a man who needed help or who was hurt. They saw, oh, he could be dead. They thought of the law above helping their brother. Instead of helping this man, they thought, nope, the law is what's important. I can't go here. So when Jesus answers this question, he doesn't tell them, he doesn't answer the question the people ask because he wants them to think. And he knows that he has to catch them off guard and kind of get them thinking to see, no, you're not even thinking in the right way. Focusing on the question, who is my neighbor, assumes that there is an us and there is a them. Jesus here in Luke, when Luke wrote his gospel and then Acts as well, he's very intentional. He was educated. He was putting this together for Theophilus. He was trying to create a good record of what had happened in Jesus' day. So when Luke puts his gospel together, it is very intentional. Things are set up in a way that there's kind of like themes and things like this. This whole section here in Luke is about Jesus resisting this idea that there is an us and there is a them. We also need to fight this urge. We need to resist the labeling, the division, the putting people in boxes. Are you Democrat or are you Republican? Are you Jew or are you Gentile? Are you gay or are you straight? Are you male or are you female? Are you slave or are you free? Anti-abortion or pro-choice? There's these boxes, and we force ourselves into them, and we demand that we know. But Jesus doesn't answer. He gives an example of somebody showing love. He gives an example of somebody who's not focused on dividing, but is focused on just the fact that a broken human, is on the side of the road and needs help. What Jesus is trying to get at is that we need to radically and unconditionally share our love with others. We sometimes feel this pressure as Christians, like we have to figure out what are the rules. Before we go out and share, how do we evangelize? How do we do this? We have to have these things clear and set straight. But this takes the pressure off of it. We don't have to worry about that. We don't have to think about those things and cut ourselves off from certain people. What this is getting at is that all of us are human first, made by God first, loved by God first. I have a professor who likes to say that to assume that people have enough power to like basically mess things up for God. We have the power to do something wrong is to assume we have more power than we do. We as people do not have the power to knock God's plan for the kingdom coming and for grace and salvation off its tracks. So we don't have to worry that if we're loving on the wrong people or we're in the wrong spaces or being a neighbor to somebody who we're not supposed to be a neighbor to. We don't have to worry about that. I'm not sure why we as Christians have learned this over time and get this pressure and get nervous and we're so focused on rules. Just like the Levite was and just like the lawyer was walking on the road. They see someone who might, you know, he wasn't actually dead, but they see someone and they're more concerned with their cleanliness and their upstanding and the rules that they don't help him. It's kind of like when Jesus on the Sabbath asks the Pharisees and the lawmakers watching him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? He's trying to get them to rethink the systems that they have known for so long. And Jesus has given us such a good example. So again, how Luke sets up his gospel so intentionally. In Luke 9, before Luke 10, as Jesus and his disciples are on this road to Jerusalem for the cross, you know, all leading up to this moment on the cross, Jesus goes through Samaria and tries to, you know, be with the Samaritans and talk with them and teach them, and they reject him. They reject Jesus. The way and the truth and the life comes to them in person, and they reject him. So it's really funny that here in Luke 10, Jesus isn't angry. Well, I mean, sure, he's upset. He knows that he's the way, truth, and life, and they just rejected him. But Jesus doesn't use this example and use it as a time to say to this lawyer, oh, yeah, you know who is your neighbor? Not those Samaritans. They just rejected me. No, Jesus takes the Samaritan, and Jews and Samaritans, you know, they don't get along. The Jewish people, they're the people of God. Anybody else, forget about them. Jesus takes these people that the Jewish people are like super against and racist against, and Jesus lifts them up. Jesus uses a Samaritan as the example of how to be a good neighbor. Jesus said, don't focus on who is my neighbor. Don't think about that. Think about how you can be a good neighbor. Look at who was the good neighbor in this situation. And the lawyer, sure enough, the person who showed mercy. And Jesus says, go and do likewise. So yeah, he doesn't answer his question. And it was probably very frustrating. I mean, if you remember, these people eventually killed Jesus. He was so radical and frustrating and didn't answer the questions they wanted answered. He didn't fall into the traps that they set for Jesus. But Jesus tells them, focus on a different thing. Your heart is still in this place where you want to look for divisions. But no, there is something different about them. Oh, but we have to keep our distance. No, Jesus says, do likewise. Be like this person. So yeah, how do we know Jesus isn't into this us versus them thing? He uses a Samaritan as an example, throws it in their face. It's a way of showing them, no, the way you're thinking, it's not right. It's really funny, too. So in that part when the Samaritans reject him, the people get really mad. James and John are like, Jesus, shall we call fire down from heaven to consume them? They're so mad they've been rejected. And Jesus is like, no, don't get so worked up. We as people still get worked up, right? We feel like we have to defend Jesus. We have to do all these things. No, Jesus is always saying, no, respond with grace. Respond with mercy. Don't let that division and that rejection define who you are. You still have been accepted and loved by Jesus Christ. Let that live out. Don't let the anger be what motivates you and the things that come out. Again, this is so intentional, right? So the next story, right after this Good Samaritan text about go show mercy, focus on being a good neighbor. It's funny that Jesus gives that too. Focus on being a good neighbor. Because if we focus on ourselves and how can I be a good neighbor, really we should probably never be able to move on from that because we're so imperfect. Like it's like Jesus is like, just focus on this one thing. Trust me, it'll keep you busy. You have a lot to learn. Just focus on this one thing. Don't focus on the division. The very next story after Luke 10, or after the Good Samaritan, is when Jesus goes to Mary and Martha's house. And if you're like me, you used to read the story of Mary and Martha, and Martha's really frustrated, and she's like, Jesus, tell my sister to help me with all this housework. And I was kind of like mad too. I'm like, yeah, Jesus, all you men expect her to just cook all this food for you. Like, you guys need to help. Not the point of the story at all. Part of what Martha is really upset with here is that Mary is over here in a male sphere because Jesus is teaching his disciples, and only men were educated, and only men were taught to be disciples who would eventually go out and share the word. So here's Mary in a male sphere, and Martha's over here like, Jesus, tell her to come help me. Like, Martha and them, they're a Jewish family, you know, so she knows the law, and she knows the rules, and again, thinks this is what's important, Jesus, these rules. She's mixing, not men and women mixing. What are we doing? And what does Jesus say to respond with? He says, you're so busy and worried about many things, Martha, but Mary has chosen what is best, and it will not be taken from her. I will not give in to those divisions Jesus is trying to teach. This is not what we need to be focused on. Don't worry about that. So the point here, these sections in Luke, what this little theme is getting at, there is no us versus them. Let the pressure off. Stop thinking that way. And the thing is that Jesus is graceful. God's not trying to lead us into a trap like, okay, I told them to love everybody. Let's see if they really do it. Oh, well, not those people. I said love everyone, but you're supposed to know not those people. Or you're supposed to invite people, but not those people. Our God is not tricksy. Our God is not trying to like get us into a trap. It's quite simple because we as broken creatures, we kind of need it to be simplified. And that's why Jesus says, just love. Just be a good neighbor. Show mercy. Focus on this. Because when our divisions break down and it makes people upset, that's okay. It's not going to be taken away from them, those who go into other spheres and are accepted. I heard somebody this week was kind of asking me, like, but aren't you concerned that We're not as focused on evangelism. We're so focused on justice and letting people be radical in the way that, you know, women are preaching these days. And people are coming into this country in ways we don't understand. Our way of living, so that comment just on evangelism, I remember thinking like, no, but living out our justice and living this mercy out is our best witness. Showing mercy to people who would not be shown mercy by anyone else and radically loving on everyone we encounter, that is our best witness. That is evangelism. Because when people see us as Christians loving on everyone, they will see us and they will see that we are not hypocrites, that we are actually changed by some kind of radical love that makes no sense, that mixes all the groups. So friends, don't feel pressure. Don't feel nervous. Don't think, no, but there's this or there's that. Sure, there's a lot of details in life. It's broken, but the pressure is off. The Holy Spirit is here to guide us, to lead us so that we go faithfully. Remember that that Spirit is there to dip into all the time. When we get those pressures, I don't know if some of you ever, you have a dinner party and you're thinking, oh, I want to invite these people, but I also want to invite these people. I don't know, they're all from different groups. Or if you're at school and you're eating lunch at the lunch table, I don't know, there's this new kid, but he's kind of different. Forget all of that. Invite, include, let people in every sphere you can. Don't worry about those social expectations or the awkward moments. Jesus went to dinner often with people that were Pharisees and Jews and then women. Jesus mixed his groups. Jesus focused on being a good neighbor, not who is my neighbor. This lawyer was so focused on that, and they did not want to let go. That's why the Pharisees and them, they were so mad, because the us and them worked really well for them. They were the us that was above, that was rich, that was, you know, had privilege, and they didn't want to be with them because it's lower. So sure, as far as the world is concerned, there might be loss. It might be difficult. But as far as the kingdom of God, how that works, this is our best witness. This is the best way for us to flourish and enjoy one another. I love that we sang, I Need You to Survive, that song right before this, because that's exactly it. I need my black brothers and sisters to survive. I need my Muslim brothers and sisters to survive. I need my gay friends to survive. I need to be friends with Democrats and Republicans, and then people who don't want to pick a political stance, the weird people in the middle. It's kind of like me, I don't like the labels. We need each other to survive. And the people out there, what we have is a message of hope. We don't have to think about who do we share this with? How do I do it? No pressure, guys. We have hope. It's the best news ever. We don't have a law book to hand down to people. We have hope. We have excitement. So brothers and sisters, I just encourage you as we go out and as we read our Bibles to pay attention to these little things, these little subtle things. When Jesus doesn't answer the question that they ask, when Jesus gives parables and asks people to stop, think, consider, that's exactly what we need to be doing in our lives, friends. We don't have to worry ourselves with, how can I evangelize? I'm not really good with going up to people on the street. I don't know. Live your lives with mercy. And this doesn't mean we ignore the differences in each other, right? It's not like, oh, I'm colorblind. I don't see this or that. We live in the differences, the multiplicity that God has created us in. And we just live in that tension of difference. We like to organize things. It's a temptation. It's good to organize sometimes, but with people, guys, it's easy. It's really simple. It's been given to us. We've been freed from the divisions. Jesus has torn the dividing wall down. No more Jew and Gentile. No more slave and free. No more male and female. I just hope that you go out this week in your lives and know that when you talk to a man versus a woman, you don't have to think of how to treat them differently. You just treat them as a person. You treat them as a brother and sister in Christ, or a person who desperately needs to hear the good news of Christ, friends. So I just pray that you hear this good news, that you look at your Bibles and you take the words of Jesus as hope and as strength and as something that takes the pressure off and doesn't give us more rules and more things to worry about, but shows us that Jesus' kingdom is very different. And we can trust it. It is very good. Will you pray with me? Lord, I thank you so much that you have torn down the dividing wall, that you have shown us that the questions we have aren't always exactly the questions that we should be asking or that we need to redirect our thoughts or our ways, God. You are so, so good, God, and I just ask that you would help us as a church here at Oakdale and as people in Grand Rapids, let us be the first to start and to be united, God, and to say to the world that we are more similar than we are different, and we are united in you, which is important. God, thank you so much for coming down to earth so that you could live as a human and show us that you understand what we go through. And I just pray that you help us to soak up that blessing and that truth you've given to us, that salvation and hope, so that it will overflow to other people, God. Let us live in a way that our joy and the truth of what you have done for us just overflows. We love you so much. In your Son's name, Jesus, we just pray. Amen.